This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, it's Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
Hi Jess. Hi everyone. I'm Jen.
So you talked to Ozzy.
Let's get right into it. That's right. It's Friday. We've got an interview for you. How much do you love a fragrance chat?
I'm so excited for this. She's really talented.
When I tell you, I'm not finished, like, I think this woman has like a weird sixth sense. I feel like she's like a white witch of perfume. I get such, every time I talk to her, I feel like this is why she's a good perfumer, because she just reads the room and the people. She's got a little magic about her. She's a British perfume designer. Who remembers Agent Provocateur, the fragrance?
Jess is raising her hand.
She created that one. That was like one of her first blockbusters. She now has her own company, A Perfumer Story. I got connected with her. I actually should call this out. I just did a story for the December issue of Allure about how actors use fragrance to help them get into character. So she was one of my sources because she makes bespoke fragrances for actors for particular projects. And when I chatted with her for that story, I was like, you need to come on the podcast. The fam is going to love you. So that's what this is. This is my conversation with Ozzy. So it's just me and her. Jess is there vicariously, right, Jess?
Vicariously, in spirit.
In spirit, in fragrance spirit. So I thought it was also timely. I don't know. There's something about fragrance that makes me feel very festive. And here we are getting into festive season. So I hope you all enjoy it. Ozzy, hi. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Hey, Jen. Hi. How are you?
It's good to see you again. I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. Very excited.
Me too. So I know we've chatted before, but I want to bring my listeners up to speed a little bit about who you are and what you do. Let's start back and talk about when you first realized you wanted to be a perfumer. Do you remember when that was? How did you figure that out?
You know, it wasn't an industry or a profession that I'd even heard of when I was younger. And it's something that was discovered. And the interesting thing is, when I look back on it, I was always, you know, making perfumes like all children probably were, collecting rose petals and making perfumes, always collecting my mum's lipstick containers when she'd finished with them, her lipstick cases and her powder cases, because I love the smells of the 1970s old waxy lipstick notes. And I was discovered actually when I was about my early 20s, I was actually sort of looking for perfume because I had invented a product which was, it was, do you remember the old potpourri, the fragrance potpourri back in the day in the late 80s where you would scent your houses? So I came up with an idea of, which was the next thing that came after that, was scented rocks. So I needed to buy perfume from somewhere. So in terms of the little knowledge that I had of perfume, I just looked at the back of a perfume bottle and it says made in Paris. So I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll go to Paris and get some, see where perfume comes from. And so it was really, it was very kind of something that was totally undiscovered. And then a perfume house in the UK contacted me because they'd read an article in Cosmopolitan about me creating these new scented rocks and how brilliant they were and interesting. So I went to go visit them, and the CEO was around the building, and he said, you know, I think I reminded him of his late brother who was a big perfumer, and he said, we'd love to get your nose tested. Have you ever had your nose tested? And I thought, well, no. And the thought of having doing a test was frightening. And he said, well, it won't take you, it's an hour and a half long. It's, and I thought, oh my God, that sounds, you know, intensive. So I did this perfume test, and they just said, you know, it's one of the best results we've ever had. You've got a great nose, you know, would you ever consider joining the perfume industry? So that's kind of really where it started. And I have to say, when I did join the industry, it wasn't quite as I had imagined. It was a lot of white coats and everything was quite marketing led or technically led, as opposed to perfumery creatively led in terms of the vision that I had. So I think I was a bit of a rebel in the industry, yeah. Sort of kind of saying, well, what about doing it this way? Or, you know, just kind of opening up those creative doors and breaking down some of the boundaries that existed in the industry. So not to necessarily follow the trends, but to create the trends.
Yeah, let's back up. Two big things, though, here. Can I back up here?
Yeah, of course.
You invented scented rocks. Like, it was wood shavings, I remember. It was these horrible little, like, it looked like your hamster's bedding.
Exactly,
right? And it
yeah.
was and I know the scented rocks you're talking about. They're like a porous, and it was much more chic. You were one of the first to do that?
Exactly. They came from south of Italy. It's from volcanic rocks. And they've got a great porosity.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it holds the perfume very, very well. And it permeates the scent in room, you know, better than the wood shaving chips did. And they were much more sophisticated.
Yeah. Okay, you are a rebel.
So it was fun, and then
changing things up.
Exactly. And then when I launched my first perfume, it kind of came from working in the behind the scenes in the industry in the 90s, where everything looked the same, smelt the same. And I think I was just getting a bit bored, where I'm not going to mention any names as such, but where certain perfumes wanted to say, well, you know, we want it to smell like this, look like this. Everything looked and smelt the same. And I thought, no, we've got to lead the market. We can't, you know, you've got to kind of, fragrance smell has to be match your personality and style. Every brand is different. Every person is different. So when my first perfume I created was Agent Provocateur in 2000, 22 years ago, I think now.
Yeah.
And it was in, and of course, you know, most perfumes are in glass bottles. And I always wanted my first perfume to be in a porcelain bottle. So it was very hard and tricky to do, but it went straight to number one, and it was very successful. But the scent itself was it totally reflected the brand, which is sexy, provocative, and confident. And the trends at the time were very light and watery. If you remember the 90s of, you know, CK1 and Issey Miyake, etc., the ozonic type notes. And out pops this very expensive, womanly, powerful scent, which was Agent Provocateur. It was really very, very popular. I think people just embraced the fact that there was a change, a different direction in the industry finally.
Yeah. I want to talk about some more of the scents you've created and how you're a leader there. But backing up to this fragrance evaluation quiz, I feel like I've talked to some perfumers who say to be a perfumer, you don't necessarily have to be a better smeller, just like have a really good memory. But the quiz, the evaluation that you did, Was that to see if you could be an evaluator or perfume creator? Like, what test were they giving you?
They were quite vigorous tests, actually. You have to test your nose. So in terms of, one is to identify different notes. So you have different family of notes like green and animalic or woody or musk or ambery, floral, fresh, herbs, citrus, etc. So it's to be, one is to identify the different categories and family of fragrance, and then you have to then dissect that into the different accords and the notes. So,
oh, and you already could do this without formal training.
Well, it was a lot of it at the beginning was just it was a test. They just go with your instincts. So, I mean, I had no preconceptions of what I was going into, but I just thought, well, okay, well, you know, that smells green to me, or that was citrus, fruity, or whatever it was. And then they would also sort of ask you to look at the different strengths. You know, which one would it be? A, B, or C would be the strongest. Which note would you find more stronger and lighter, etc. So it gives you an idea of the longevity of an ingredient and its notes. So when you're formulating a perfume, it's one is to kind of create the concept of the actual fragrance and the story that you're telling, but also you want the perfume to last, and it must be fine-tuned so you don't have like notes sticking out. So it kind of has this like nice velvety, smooth, fine fragrance that's then composed and created from the ingredients that you choose.
Right. And after you took this test and you realized, okay, I might, or they realized even you had talent, did you then have formal training where you went through perfumery school, or did you go down to Grasse? How did it work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Paris quite frequently, actually. But you got trained by, in those days, you get trained by a perfumer. And it was more sort of to do with the actual house itself, internal learning, which is good because you kind of, you're in a way thrown into the deep end, but at the same time, you're learning all about it. And also the technicalities in terms of the gas chromatography of when you're looking at identifying and creating different scents that smell similar to a natural note. The smell of, one of the first memories I've ever had is the smell of rain on earth. And when I was asked to create the smell of Britain for when David Cameron was in power, I recreated the smell of rain as it hits the pavements. Because it kind of rains here a lot.
Wait, who asked you to create the smell of Britain? This is crazy. This is a huge story. What was that project?
That was for, well, it was part of the Great Festival of Britain, which was the great, it was a great, yeah, Great Festival of Britain. I think it's called the Great Creativity. So it's basically identifying how, you know, many creatives come out of Britain, etc. So David Cameron was Prime Minister at the time, and he built an alliance of, you know, creatives in fashion, in film, and I was in fragrance and beauty, etc. And he asked a couple of perfumers from Britain. I was one. Jo Malone was another perfumer as well that was asked to create our ideas of the scent of Britain. I think she did the scent of rose, and I did the scent of rain as it hits earth, because whenever I, and it was all about to build alliances with global entities in different countries. So the presentation, the first, so when I created the scent, we did, the first drop was Istanbul. And I mean, people loved it because, I mean, everyone sort of laughed a bit because they said, oh my God, you know, they weren't expecting that it to be rain on earth. But I think everyone, I totally identified with it because it, you know, whenever you speak to somebody in America or anywhere, they say, oh, how's the weather there? Is it raining? Is it grey, wet? And the usual.
Yeah.
And in fact, it is raining here as well, by the way, as I speak.
Well, what is that smell? How do you describe it to people? Like,
oh my God,
smell?
I can't wait to send you. I'm going to send you a vial, Jen. You're going to love it. In fact, I'm launching a candle soon, and I'll send you that when we have produced it. But it literally smells of exactly. So when you're burning the candle, it almost feels like it's quite humid. So you know the humidity that a rainstorm gives. So it's quite electrifying. Yeah. There's something quite very passionate about the scent as well. But it is literally the identical smell of rain on pavements. It smells, it's got muddy notes in there. It's got green grass notes. It's fresh, but it's earthy at the same time. It's even got the note of when hot rain hits when cold rain hits the hot pavements. You know, the steam comes up a bit.
Yeah, I know it.
It's really
what a fun project.
Thank you. It was fun. It was. I enjoyed doing that very, very much. And I think I particularly just loved everyone's reaction when they smell it. In fact, I can't. You must call me immediately when you smell it. You're gonna love it.
Well, side note, I know you sent me your fragrance C from a perfumer story. So I've given samples to a couple of people. Everybody who smells that just laughs out loud first. And then they like, just because it brings up memories of like nights out in the club or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of reaction. Like, I kid you not, multiple people have just looked at me and laughed when they smelled it. Because they knew what it was. It's funny.
Yeah. And then have you seen the reaction it gets you after you wear it?
Yeah. It's addictive.
It is addictive, exactly. So the whole idea is not to take it, but to wear it.
Of course. So you got into, from working on Agent Provocateur and like a big brand marketing driven, you were doing retail fragrances. When did you start to shift your career into the world of personal creations like the ones we just talked about, but bespoke perfumery as well?
So bespoke perfumery started about 15 years ago, I think now. And originally it started with Kylie Minogue, actually, who had contacted me because she wore Agent Provocateur and she was a big fan. She wanted to meet the perfumer behind it. So I actually went to her house for dinner, which was lovely. And she's adorable, you know, I mean, beautiful, very hardworking, highly intelligent.
Were you starstruck? I don't know. You work with a lot of celebrities, but...
Yeah, you know, I kind of... I just had a baby, so I was a little bit panicked about leaving my one-year-old at the same time. But she made you feel very comfortable. She had a glass of champagne in her hand. I'm thinking, oh my God, that's perfect. So we had a really good chat, and I ended up doing a bespoke scent for her, which she absolutely adores and loves. And she actually had it as part of her exhibition that she did at the Victoria and Albert Museum, which is a retrospective on Kylie. So that was really great fun. Mm-hmm. And then my first actress and actor that I worked with was Helena Bonham Carter. And that was when I started to work originally with getting them into roles in their film roles. And then the first actor was Johnny Depp. In fact, I worked with both of them on a film together, which was created, directed by Tim Burton, Dark Shadows. And I had previously, I'd already created for Helena fragrances for when she played Enid Blyton and Bellatrix as Harry Potter. And for this particular role, she wasn't smelling great because it's got to be real, of course. It's the same thing, you know, you have to look the part. So it depends on what era or what the concept, what the styling is. The scent has to also get you into the role, like method acting. So she was playing an alcoholic, chain-smoking psychiatrist based in the 1970s. And I said, okay, so what are you drinking? She said, a whiskey, bourbon, straight, practically in every scene. How much you smoke? Chain smoke. Whole time, I've got a cigarette in my hand. And Helena doesn't drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes, so I literally gave her the smell of that, and she said, "Oh my God, it's amazing." She said, "I'm on set at 6 a.m. and everyone's like thinking, "What the hell?" They just thought that, you know, she really had taken this seriously.
She hit the bottle. She was up all night, or hit the bottle. Well, but before we get into these movie roles, though, the one for Kylie was a personal fragrance that you made for her, right? You know, not having to do with her role.
Yes.
And then you started doing the movie.
So I started first with Helena doing the movies, but then I also did Helena's own personal bespoke fragrance as well, which is her own. I mean, they get given lots of perfumes from brands, etc., but they want to smell individual. They want to have their own unique legacy of scent, which they can, you know, have forever. And people say, what are you wearing? She gets so many comments. She texts me saying, the taxi driver, just, oh my God, what are you wearing? That's amazing. And she says, oh, this is my own Helena scent. And Johnny Depp has his own.
What's the process like for that? What did you do with Johnny and Helena and all of your other bespoke clients that might not be famous people? Like, you sit down and interview them? Is there a quiz? How do you do it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a fun therapy session, really. And you do get to know them and hang out with them, which is fun. Because, you know, if you think about it, sort of everyone has two personalities. You have one that you portray to the outside world, you know, that this is who I am and this is the way that I look, it's the way I have my hair, makeup, etc. And then you have your inner personality that you want to bring out to those that you get close to, family, loved ones, etc. But that doesn't come out necessarily straight away. So I kind of have to identify both of them together, because this is a fragrance, it's a scent that you're going to be wearing for a long time. And it's something that you have to feel really comfortable in your own skin. It's like second skin. So it's in a way I'm capturing their personality, their character and their style in a formulation. It's a bit like their DNA print, but through my nose. So it's their scent DNA.
Are they smelling anything? Like, because sometimes, you know, there's these bespoke, sort of pseudo-bespoke perfumeries where they're like, you smell a bunch of accords and you figure out you're a watery floral and they tweak it a little and you get a watery floral. Do you ever have them smell anything like that, or it's more based on personality?
I'm definitely not one of those standard. You get a completely different experience with me. It's serious as well, you know, because they're spending money and they want to have the real, proper, real deal. It's watery. To be honest with you, it doesn't really interest me whether they like the smell of jasmine or rose. You know, when you're making a perfume, it contains lots of different ingredients. And for example, if you just say you like rose, but rose is an ingredient that can be very pretty, pretty and floral and lovely. And then if you mix it with, say, oud and saffron and vetiver, it can suddenly become quite dark and dangerous and passionate. So I'm all about telling the unique story of their personifying them into their scent bubble. And so when I
regardless of what those notes might be.
Yeah, because when you smell it, you can't even identify sometimes the ingredients. That's the magic of my formulations. You know, it's not about being identified in terms of, oh, it's a fresh fruity floral. You know, I'm not doing a mass market perfume scent. It's something it's a bit like an, you know, artist painting something mm-hmm. that is going to be unique and different, and you spend time in doing that as well. But also you're telling their story, and it's got to be something that they are happy with, and they're everyone's intelligent. They come to me because they know that I'm gonna do that for them. They don't know what they want either. It's very subjective scent, and it's quite a tricky subject, because it's not something that you can see or touch. It's an emotion. So it has to, yeah. So, you know, I can feel it and see it. But Helena calls me her white witch, because she just says, you just know. I mean, it's hard to, when she introduces me to some of her friends, sometimes she just says, you know, got to go to Azzy, because she'll just get it right. No. And it's just something that I think I've always probably had inside me, something that I didn't even realize that you have that kind of power of the nose. But the power of the nose is a powerful tool, believe me.
Azzy, do you think you're a bit psychic, maybe?
It's hard to say, because I always wonder what psychic means sometimes. But I think a lot of people can be psychic when you're, you know, I am very soulful and in touch with my subconscious, and I'm very interested in people. I love people. I love the way their brains work and the way you move. And I remember even when I first met with you, when we were doing the interview, you know, I was fascinated by your style, the way that you moved, the way that you talked, the way you thought about things before you said things, and then sort of knowing maybe what the next thing was going to be that you were then going to say. But it's something that, you know, it's a feeling that you get, and it's all about being interested in your subjects, and that's something that I think I've always been very interested in.
Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove, They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware-free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then, after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase. Yeah, if you're really empathetic, sometimes that can read to other people as a little bit psychic. I get it. Do people surprise you, though? Have you ever gotten it wrong? Like, you think they're one thing, you make them a scent, and it's totally off base?
Yeah, you know, one, there was Tom Hardy, actually. I met with Tom, and I thought he was definitely Mr. Vetiver, which is one of my collections, which Jude Law wears. Jude is definitely Mr. Vetiver, it's true, and he's always been Mr. Vetiver. He buys it all the time. But Tom Hardy, you know, he's alpha male. I mean, he ticked all the right boxes. It's James Bond. And I'm sure he was up for that role as well. Yeah. So it wasn't that I was completely off. And I gave it to him. And he said, I love it. It's great. He said, but the one I want is I just want the one that you wear. I like your smell. So, which is Sequoia Wood. You know, I wear Sequoia Wood. Uh-huh. Did you get a bottle of Sequoia Wood? I can't remember.
I do. I love it. Just so listeners know, you sent me C, which we talked about briefly before, and Sequoia Wood, both of which are very different, yet both so me. Sequoia Wood, I was describing, I actually talked about it on the podcast, is like, it had this rummy quality for me, like almost like a cognac-y kind of wood. Like it was much... I kept saying maroon bubble, and my co-host was like, what does maroon bubble mean? I was like, I can't describe it. It's a maroon bubble. How do you describe that scent?
Well, you know, you're right, actually, in a way. I mean, this is where I knew that you're good with scents and you've got a good nose, because Sequoia wood is the most sensual of woods. It's juicy wood. Sandalwood is an oily wood. Cedarwood is a dry wood. Guaiac wood is that polished wood. Now, Sequoia wood, which is the red trees that you get in Colorado and California, where the wood, it's deep, and you just keep smelling it, and there's a juiciness to it. So that's probably why you're getting that kind of sexy undertones of, you could say, cognac, or some people even say a little bit kind of chocolatey, but not... I mean, for me, it's like it is that redwood. It's like a passionate wood note that comes through that just kind of gives it, without being pretty. I don't like pretty floral scents for me. I like to be sexy, but I want to be kind of in a very mysterious manner. And Sequoia wood gives you that, which I think that's your everyday scent.
And what about Tom Hardy? Is that his everyday scent?
Yeah, so he loves Sequoia wood. So that was the only one that I have ever probably got it wrong. I mean, I remember when I worked with Cindy Crawford, this was a hard one.
Ozzy, I have to tell you a story. Quick story. I know there's a delay with our recording, so sorry if I interrupted you. So the day after I got married or engaged, my husband had to go to England to interview Tom Hardy. I kid you not. This happened.
Yeah.
And Tom Hardy's like, wait, you just got engaged to your fiance. Now you're here interviewing me. Let me make her a video. This is so weird. I don't have a video from any celebrity in the world except Tom Hardy. Sends me this video saying, congrats on getting engaged to, you know, Eric. I'm here with him. I'll send him back to you in 2 days. It's just this random video of Tom Hardy. Here you are talking about passion and love. It was the most passionate week of my life. I just got engaged. And somehow Tom Hardy is in that story for me. And then here it's weirdly connected with this fragrance and you. I'm telling you, woman, there's a psychic note in you, whether you realize it or not.
we'll be connected with so many more, I'm sure. Exactly. There'll be more that will come out of this conversation.
I know, but it's just funny.
I love that. It's so sweet of him
well. Yeah. Well, to get us back on track. Yeah, it was great. It's a really funny video. I will not make it public because I don't want to embarrass him. But anyway, when you said people don't tend, well, they do surprise you. He surprised you. You didn't get it right on the first try. But when you do the movie projects, it's a little bit different, right? It's not just about getting their personality. It's about getting the character, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I've worked with Jude Law in many films as well. When I worked with him on The Pope, when he did Arthur with the Guy Ritchie film, and his characters have all been quite different. And I've just recently done a film with him that's releasing next year, which was a tough one because it's completed to all of his films. But, you know, he's also very interested. I mean, actors are highly intelligent anyway. They know their history, they research. So they really can kind of, so when we have our sessions together, we really get involved in telling that story through smell. And I'll say to him, you know, when you're on set, you're going to want to feel like this. The other actors, it's all about how it then portrays and reflects on the other actors and the director and everyone else. So there's lots of different facets that come into the equation. So they have their own bespoke scent. So you have the Jude Law scent that, you know, he wears. Well, he actually wears Mr. Vetiver, which is part of the collection, because he loves that. So he doesn't have his own bespoke scent as such, because he loves that one. But he has all the bespokes that we do for his film roles. And they are, you know, and they vary depending on what the character is, of course, that he plays. And as he's got older, they've got tougher, I have to say.
Yeah. They've gotten tougher? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they've got tougher in terms of, I think, because as an actor, sometimes you want to have roles that are, you know, quite hard to do, because you've obviously, you know, you want to kind of create your own challenges, don't you, in life? So I think, you know, they like having these different challenges. And with Jude's one, where he'll be playing Henry VIII, I can't wait to watch that when that comes out. You know, he didn't smell too good at all, because, of course, it was, without going too much into detail, because you'd have to watch the film, but we'd have to have a little podcast just before it comes out, and then I can, because that's a great story of what he smells
like. Well, I think
actually.
Henry VIII is a familiar villain to a lot of people in history. We know how, you know, he killed all his wives and had them sent to death.
And he's quite a repulsive character in a way, in terms of the way he looked, and he was big, and, you know, he had, and towards the end of his life, which is what the film's based on, you know, he had gout and things like that. In those days, didn't smell great, and, you know, it's like smell of pus and death and before it's happening, and ill sickness and illness. You know, it was tough in those times, because they didn't have all the tonics that we have nowadays.
Yeah. And that's a movie where you didn't just create it for one actor, which I know you do. The actors will come to you, but you create it for several actors in that movie, right?
Yeah. I actually worked with the director, Carrie Manouse, on this one. So I ended up doing about 17 different scents in all for the film, because I also did the set design scents as well. Because it's the set, the film is very emotional as well. It's very sort of, you know, it's intense. And so you really want to kind of, you know, smell and feel it as you're watching it. And also worked, Alicia Vikander plays Catherine in there. So, you know, and I'd also worked with some of the other actors with their different roles, characters as well. But yeah, didn't have a long time to work on that, but it was a great project and exciting too.
Yeah, the set fragrance intrigues me. That was that like room pebbles from back in the 90s? Like what, or was it like a, you created an eau de toilette that they just sprayed around the set? What did it smell like? What was that about?
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, just different notes, if you can imagine, set in those times, you know, it was stone cold floors and firewood burning, because they didn't have central heating.
Okay.
So it's very much what they had to cope with and deal with in those times. And the smells that would come out, you know, like wet hay or smoked wood and kind of cold dampness and etc. So disinfectant as well was something that would use quite a lot. So it was everything was made very, very real. Well, certainly with, I don't know if all the directors were like that, but he certainly is very, you know, particular to make things very much as they are or as they were in this case.
What disinfectant would they use in the medieval times? And what did it smell like, do you think?
Well, a lot of the ingredients, you know, even nowadays today, but pine obviously was a big disinfectant note. They had things like fennel, basil, thyme, rosemary was a big note for disinfectant, but also in terms of fighting of viruses and sanitization. So that was like, they were the kind of the healing ingredients, eucalyptus, menthol, camphor, etc.
Right.
Those kind of medicated notes.
I get the vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I don't know if I told you the story, but then, you know, we talk about bespokes and how challenging they can be. One of the biggest ones I had was when I worked on Cindy Crawford's bespoke scent, because she didn't wear perfume and didn't like perfume particularly. And it was an interesting project, because it was her amazing husband is Randy Gerber, wanted to create bespoke perfume for her 50, you know, for her birthday. So it's a surprise. But when I sort of then I said, well, you know, what does she like? What does she normally wear, etc.? And she said, well, she doesn't like perfume. That's where we come to you to help us, you know, to get something that she likes. I was thinking, oh my God, right. So then I just wanted to know everything there was to know about, because it's also a surprise. I did everything with Randy, but they're very, very close. I mean, honestly and truly. You know, it's a wonderful love story, but it was great, because I had to find out how her life and her style and how she is sort of when she goes to parties or when she's cooking dinner at home or watching, you know, taking the dogs for walks or, you know, going to the park, etc. It's the rituals and learning about that. And I just created, so in the end I had two, I couldn't decide between the two, I liked them both. But there were just two formulas that I did and they were like, is that it? Just two? I said, yeah. So I can't wait to decide which one it was. And and actually it was wonderful because she said, well, I want Randy to pick his favourite one when I'm outside of the room and then I'll pick it. And if and we'll see if it's the same. And I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I didn't
pressure.
Know pressure, exactly. And they and it was amazing because they both exactly, I mean, they're so in sync anyway. They both immediately went to B, and it's definitely B, and that's her signature scent. She wears it all the time. She loves it, and I was just, you know, I was so delighted. But it was one of those challenging and wonderful moments that where you see the happiness and joy in their faces because you literally have no idea.
Yeah, you know, she came on our podcast, and when we asked her what she wore, she was like, "Oh, it's bespoke, and Randy had it made for me, and it's just perfect." And that was the story. It's so interesting to hear now the story behind what she told us.
Oh,
and
lovely!
How you nailed it with like a lot of challenges. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself being drawn to certain accords again and again? Like when you start a project, like, okay, I'm going to start with this accord that I love that like always seems to be a nice base, or is it perfectly unique for everyone?
It's really perfectly unique for everyone. Yeah, because I don't think I could even, I don't think I've ever even thought about it like that. It's a very interesting question.
Yeah. What about notes that you're drawn to right now? Like, I just feel like as the seasons change in different years, people get, you know, into different things. What are you into right now?
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at my the Superfumous Story collection, I must send you the whole like vials of it.
Yeah, wait, I should back up. Why? You have a certain number of fragrances in a Perfumer Story, and some of them have been past projects that you made now available to regular people. But why did you decide to create a Perfumer Story?
I think everyone just said, you know, you've created fragrances for different brands, fashion designers, Hollywood actors, artists, musicians, etc. When are you going to bring your own, you know, we want to buy your perfumes. You know, when can we actually commercially buy them ourselves? So, and everyone used to love my one that I used to wear, which is Sequoia with my signature. So, which is one of the best sellers as well. And so I kind of thought, yeah, I had to do it. And actually a lot of, you know, actor friends were encouraging me to do it. And they helped me a lot in the making of the Perfumer Story. And I originally launched with Harvey Nichols here in the UK and then we were in Harrods. And now we're very, you know, I have a great partner with Liberty London who are a brilliant match actually to us in terms of clientele and everyone. And they really, you know, I've always had a love for Liberty as a store because it's so beautiful. It's got the heritage. But the reason why I wanted to create it, and a lot of journalists actually said, because they said, your approach is so different to other perfumers and other brands where a lot of perfumes are based on notes and fragrance families like floral, fresh, etc., citrus, etc. Whereas my perfumes are based on people and characters and style. And so I couldn't just launch one perfume. I launched 11 because I wanted to have a library for them to say, well, yes, I am sensual, creative and edgy. I'm Sequoia Wood. Or I am bohemian, fun-loving and caring. So I am Twisted Iris. Or I am alpha male, debonair, and charismatic. So I'm Mr. Vetiver. Or, you know, Old Books is another great one.
Those descriptions on the website?
They are. So, yes. Yeah, my fragrance family has been replaced by what is your character and style. And I've got that robot quiz that you can do, so which helps you decide which fragrance is your DNA match. So you could, which is a free quiz that you can just go onto the website and you answer the questions. And it's been, you know, it's really hard to kind of create the AI robot because it took over a year to do it because it has to map my brain and my nose and how I would think if I was in front of that person. So there was a lot of backwards and forwards, but it was worth it. And you know, I get lots of letters and messages from people saying, oh my God, it's really got, you know, you got me completely right. So it's like a mini bespoke. So if you can't afford the big bespoke. You could, you know, buy something from the collection, which is a lot more accessible as well for everybody.
Yeah. And then back to the question I was asking, what you're drawn to right now, you referenced a perfumer story, but what were you going to say? What are you in the mood for this season?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have the certain notes that I do love. I love warm kind of, I love the base notes, things, you know, like frankincense and myrrh and resins and things that are going to last on skin, certain musks as well. I think essential notes are always something that's wonderful to me, because also with the base notes, they can change the heart and the top of a fragrance quite dramatically as well. The way that they mix, they can warm something up, they can make something stronger, they can make something more enriched, they can make something much more passionate and sexier as well. So mm-hmm. It really kind of, I start with what character am I going to create today, and I sort of then choose all my different ingredients, so like the main characters of them, and then all the supporting ingredients, the supporting mm-hmm. characters, then make that little story film, which is becomes one of the formulations of a perfume.
Have you ever written a book or a movie script?
That is a very good question as well, because I always thought about it when I first read Perfume by Patrick Susskind. I love that book. And the film was, mm-hmm. if you'd read the book and then watched the film, it wasn't great, but the book is brilliant. And I mean, everyone says, oh my God, it's just like you, except I haven't murdered anyone, don't intend to murder anyone. But but in terms of, you know, I do smell, you know, my nose is very sensitive. So I can smell people's hair. Sometimes I'll know what shampoo they've used, or if they haven't washed it for 2 weeks, or certain things. I just can't help but do it. I walk down the road in Camden, you know, and if I go to the nail bar or something, I like all the different smells of the exhaust fumes or the fish and chip shop as you go past, uh-huh. or, you know, the fact, when did they last change the oil? I don't know. I start thinking about all sorts of things. It's mind boggling. It's, but yes, I am actually in the process of co-writing a film, and people have wanting me to do books. It's just having the time and everything to do this. But I think when I do it, it will be unique and different and something that will come. I mean, you know, all books are, they're all going to be different and all come out of your own story that you have to tell. But that will definitely be something in the pipeline for sure. Definitely will, especially having worked with our directors and actors.
Yeah. I asked just because I think a lot of perfumers say they approach fragrance creation like storytelling, but I feel like a lot of people just say, I'm a storyteller, and it's lost at the power of the meaning. But when you talk about scent, I'm like, you can't not see that's storytelling, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons why I call the brand the Perfumer Story, because I'm always telling a story through scents, people's stories, and whether it's a brand or I do a lot with the hotels and the clubs as well, so, which is a big part of the business now. You know, having worked with Andre Balaz, who, you know, in America through the Chateau Marmont, he has a Chilton Firehouse in London, which is like the big hotspot. And we created the fragrance, must have been like, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago now, I can't remember. And, you know, that was a great story that we told together, and it's become quite an iconic scent here, where everyone's just like, oh my God, the smell of the Chilton. You know, it's, nobody can describe it. It's just that smell. And the same with the main Mayfair, different Annabelle's has got a different smell, but they have different scents, because it looks, it's also the feeling when you enter the place and the space and everything else. And I think, I have a candle range, and to me, it's not only what you smell of what you wear yourself personally, but for me, my home is so important, what it smells like. I'd love you to come here when you come over to London, but when people walk in, they're just like, wow, this smell is amazing, because that's my signature home scent. And it's so lovely, because then they'll send me a message after saying, oh, I've gone home, and, you know, my kids have said, oh, Mum, you smell great. And I said, oh, it's Azzy's house. But, you know, some of the molecules stick on your clothing as you go home. And it's so lovely to have compliments and making sure that your home smells good. It's also a great sense of well-being, especially after the pandemic, where everyone was stuck in the house anyway for such a long time. And my bespoke home business went up quite enormously.
I didn't realize you also did home fragrances, which is something my co-host and I love, love, love. You're our storyteller for home, for person. Azzy, before I let you go, I do this at the end of every podcast interview, a little speed round of 5 questions. So I have five just for you if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah, go for it, definitely.
Okay, what's the first fragrance you ever fell in love with?
First perfume, you mean, or scent?
However you want to interpret that question.
Okay, can I give you two? Okay, well, the first sure. perfume I fell in love with.
This is a theme was... with you. Cindy Crawford, I'm going to give you two.
Exactly. So they're both first memories, you know, but in different ways. So one was when my mother would, back in the 70s, she'd, you know, my mother and my father would go to parties and she'd put on her false eyelashes and her fur coat and then she'd put on her, spray her perfume on. And she wore Je Reviens by Worth, and it was this wonderful scent. She'd kiss me goodbye and leave, and she'd leave this really expensive perfume smell behind. And I'd be like, oh my God, you know, that just smells so rich. Like maybe one day I might even own a bottle of this perfume that you just thought cost £1 million. And one thing I used to do, which was a bit weird actually, but when they used to leave, I used to always tidy up their dressing table because I just smell all their different aftershaves and perfumes and everything else. And I'd do it my mum's side and then my father's side. So when they'd come back, it'd all look beautiful for them. But that was one of my fondest memories. And I think that, and the reason why I'm saying that is because I like that grown-up scent in a way. And that's, I think, you know, that's one of the reasons why I put that grown-up scent into Agile Provocateur, because I like creating perfumes in my collection, Perfume Story as well, where you walk past and like I do this Fever 54, which you'll also love actually, which is based on Studio 54 with Bianca Jagger. And actually got Bianca to smell it. She just went, oh my God, so me, I love this. But when you, and it's very sophisticated, very beautiful. And when you walk past, you leave this beautiful veil of expensive, wow, exotic scent behind. And I think I like perfumes to smell expensive and rich. And that's a really important thing for me. I just, you know, I'm not into all that kind of the mass smells of a duty-free perfume space that you go to. And then I also really love my other scent, which I mentioned earlier, actually. But one of my first memories of scent was when I lived in India. I was born in London, but I went to go live in India between the ages of 1.5 to 5, which is why I did The Smell of Rain on Earth, because it reminded me of my time in India because of the monsoon. And I think that's one of the only natural notes that actually smells the same around the world. So The Smell of Rain on Earth in England reminded me of my time in India because it was when it's the monsoon. Or if I go to Morocco and it rains there, it reminds me of being in England. You know, it kind of takes me back to all my little places that... Even in New York, I've been there when it's rained and it has that same, you know, that it's the smell of rain on pavements. And it's more rain on pavements in New York because it's not so much greenery unless you're uptown.
Right. So the two scents are, one was your mother's perfume, one's the smell of rain on the ground when it hits. Those are beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, what's the best smelling food or drink to you?
I really love the smell of freshly made donuts.
That surprised me. I don't know why, but that's a good smell. It's delicious.
It's so delicious. It's so yummy. And you know, they do all these like other donuts nowadays, the Krispy Kremes and everything else. It just doesn't have that same smell, does it? Of a real kind of Jewish sort of, you know, that yeasty, donut-y.
Doughy.
Doughy smell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I tell you, there's another one that I've got lots of smells that I really love, but I also really, really love the smell of Play-Doh. Do you remember Play-Doh?
Of course. It's like a salty, I can't even.
It's sweet and salty.
Oh my God, what
at the
kid
same
hasn't
time?
Tried to eat it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just yummy. And you just kind of get addicted to that note and that smell. And I loved I like smells that are addictive, I think. I have, you know, it's like when you said you smelt sea and you said it was addictive. I love people to just smell it, think, oh my God, I want more and more and more of it. It's exciting.
Yes, like donuts. Okay, what movie character do you wish you had created a perfume for? Like you've watched a movie and said, oh, I could have created that scent for whomever.
I think it has to be Sean Connery as James Bond, because... I kind of have.
Okay. Would it be vetiver?
Because it's a Mr. Vetiver that I did afterwards, you know, because it was after Sean Connery had played James Bond. I think Daniel Craig was probably playing him at the time after that. The Mr. Vetiver was literally, because Sean Connery is James Bond, my ideal guy, just, you know, just so charismatically gorgeous, the grey suit, the Aston Martin, you know, just beautiful. Yeah, I wish I'd created the James Bond, not the commercial perfumes they've got at the moment that say Bond on it, but the original one for him,
yes. I've got you. And what's your favourite movie? Such a hard question, I know.
One of my favourite movies, only because I've probably watched it so many times and I never get bored of it. And I think also because I love watching it so many times with my children when they were little, is The Sound of Music.
Oh, yeah. My family, we watch that a lot too.
The Von Trapp family. And
oh, my God, I can do all those songs in my sleep.
I know. I used to sing all the songs in the car, taking them to nursery and pretending I was Julie Andrews. But honestly, I've got so many.
Excellent pick.
I love Quentin Tarantino films. I'm a big fan of Stanley Kubrick, Lynch, Tim Burton. I mean, there's so many films. I'm a filmy person. I love watching films. But I love just, you know, and I've got a kid, so I like watching a lot of the kids' films as well. Batman and Pirates of the Caribbean, all of them, really.
Last question. I think you'll like this one. If there was a movie made of your life, who would narrate it?
Wow. Who would it be? I suppose you kind of think it'd probably be a woman. Yeah. I mean, I think only because I know her and I work with her as an actress and I love her voice is Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah.
I knew that. I knew the answer already. The minute I asked the question, I was like, oh, she's going to say Helena. I knew it. But it's perfect. It's perfect. And I just saw a nature documentary that she voiced and I didn't even realize it was her. And it was such a good, I love nature documentaries. And then I realized it was her and I was like, she can do anything, can't she? She's such a chameleon with her craft and her talent.
She's amazing. And she's got that wonderful, distinctive voice and face as well. It's incredible to have that unique quality where, you know, she literally has her own beautiful presence that she gives, whether you see her or if you don't see her.
Yeah. And she would add that to your movie of your life, I'm sure. Thank you for I could talk to you for hours and I'm sure our listeners could listen for hours, but thanks for spending a little bit of time with us here on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Thanks for having me. Can't wait to see you in real life.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Razor One product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.